Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text today is found in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. All these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, inasmuch as God is making an appeal through us. We urge you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is our text. Dear people of God, the word ministry means service. In England, their government divisions are called ministries. The Ministry of Defense, the Ministry of Justice, Ministry of Magic, because those ministries serve the people. In the United States, ours are called divisions, Division of Justice, and so on. It's the same thing, but you see, ours kind of loses a bit of the service idea, I think. Paul talks today about the ministry of reconciliation, which simply is each of us serving someone else by telling them how God has reconciled the world to himself. And this message of reconciliation has two parts, according to the Apostle Paul. The first is that Christ reconciled the world to himself, and the second is that Christ entrusted to us this message of reconciliation. Now, before we get into that word reconciliation and what it means, I can't get past the word world. Christ reconciled the world to himself. Why would he do that? The world is awful. I figured out the good old days, why people think that things were so much better years ago. The good old days were the days before television. If you lived back then and you had a good family, wonderful parents, and good enough brothers and sisters, and you didn't have a television, then you didn't know how the rest of the world lived, and you thought that most people lived like you did. But now in our world of TV and internet, we can see immediately how wicked this world is and how they boast in their sins and awfulness. The Apostle Paul told us a long time ago in the book of Romans, chapter 1, about the world. Although they claim to be wise, they have become fools. They followed the sinful desires of their hearts. They were consumed by their lust for one another. They are filled with every kind of unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarreling, deceit, and malice. They are gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent mockers, arrogant boasters, and loudmouths. They dream up evil things. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and merciless. That's the world. Paul wrote that too. That's the world that God loves. That's the world that Christ came to reconcile to himself. Why bother? Why not just let that world stew in the wickedness they have created for themselves? Well, before we get too high and mighty, let's remember that we are in the world. And that if the Lord just gets rid of all sinners, We're gone too. Don't ever forget the sinful condition that we were all born into. Let your TVs remind you of the wickedness that we all are to repent of every day. The Lord Jesus looked at this world with all of us sinners in it, and he said, I'm going to reconcile the world to God. Well, now, what does that mean? What is it to reconcile? To reconcile means to restore friendship. It means to bring people back together again. Well, when were we ever together? You have to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When the Lord created the man and the woman, he created them to be perfect. And they lived in the garden in perfect harmony with God and his creation. And they lived in paradise. But then, the man and the woman threw it all away in their free will by choosing to follow the devil's lies rather than to hold on to the Lord's truths and promises. They wrecked their perfect relationship that they had with the Lord. And Jesus came to restore that relationship between us and God, so that God can look at us again and say, I love you. And then we can look at God and say, I love you. Now the Lord knows what we are. He knows how full of sin and sinful desires we truly are. He does not need a TV to see our wickedness. The Lord sees right into our hearts. He's omniscient. He knows all. What God does, according to Paul here, is that he looks at us sinners and he does not count our trespasses against us. He sees our sins, but he says, those people are not guilty of sin. Well, how can he do that? The Lord can't just dismiss our sin. It is an affront to him. The Lord's justice has to be appeased. Well, that's where Christ Jesus comes in. The last verse. God made him who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, God's own Son from eternity, the holy God of creation, who lived in paradise apart from sin, decided to leave that paradise and to come into this previously mentioned world and endure its pain and suffering. He became sin for us. That is, he took our sins upon his back. Every sin you have ever committed or will commit, the Lord Jesus took it upon himself, and he told the Father to treat him as the only sinner that ever existed and to punish him for all of your sins. And the Father did. The Father took out his anger and his hatred and your sins upon his one and only Son as he hung upon that terrible but beloved cross. And because Jesus took all of God's wrath against our sin, and because the Father got out all of his anger is appeased, his justice is atoned, God can now look at us and consider us righteous in Christ. You have become the righteousness of God in Christ your Savior. That's reconciliation. Because of what Christ did for you, God can now love you. He's not repelled by your sin, because your sins are all washed away in Christ. And you can now love God. You're no longer afraid of God. You don't see him as the angry judge. You see God as your dear Father in heaven, that he tells you to call himself in the Lord's Prayer. God is our Father, and we are His dear, beloved, redeemed, saved children, all because of what Jesus Christ, God's own Son, did for us. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. The church is the ministry of reconciliation. You have this message. It's yours. Paul says that it has been entrusted to you. What will you do with it? He calls us here ambassadors for Christ. See, we're it. We carry this message. The Lord is not sending any more prophets to part the seas. The Lord is not sending any more wild men to prepare the way in the desert. The Lord is not sending any more Luthers to reform the church. All of the passages of Scripture are fulfilled, except the ones about the end itself. Everything is ready. This world has been duly warned. All that's left here is you and this message of reconciliation. You are the Lord's ambassadors. People, Christians, often wonder about those heathen in the world who've never heard about Christ, or, according to your point of view, never had a chance to hear His name. And you often ask me, Pastor, what about them? Well, what does Paul say about them? Paul says, that's what you're here for. You are the ambassadors of Christ. But you might say, I'm not very good at talking about Christ or talking about this church stuff. Yeah, isn't that great? What that means is, if someone's soul is converted, if someone is saved, you don't get any of the glory. For that person was saved, not by you and your fanciful words, but only through the Holy Spirit working through His word, in spite of you and your stumbling and bumbling words and actions. Paul says that God is making an appeal through us. That word appeal is the old word paraclete. Do you remember that word? Both Jesus and the Holy Spirit are called paraclete in the Scriptures. A paraclete is a kind of a lawyer, someone who knows the law, but uses it on behalf of someone else. Someone who makes an argument for someone else. Jesus and the Holy Spirit make the argument for you in front of the Father. They remind the Father that you sinners are no longer guilty of your sins because of what Jesus did. And you make an argument for Jesus in front of the world. You talk to people about Jesus and show them that Jesus is the only Savior available for their souls. God is making an appeal through us. We urge you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You and the world are reconciled to God through Christ. Help others see what Christ has done for them. And you don't have to be eloquent. There are enough of those guys in the world. Lord needs, the last thing we need are more smart guys who simply end up confusing people with their flowery language. What we need are real people who live real lives talking real language about Jesus, about how much He has forgiven them, about their Savior from sin, and how much He saved them and how much He loves them. And that He can also save and love other sinners too. You are ambassadors for Christ. You are the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.